The week that was proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. From residential, commercial to project management, they cover all aspects of construction. And joining me in the studio this morning, it is the Territory Alliance leader, Terry Mills. Good morning.
Morning, Katie.
And we've also got the member for Sanderson and Government Whip, Kate Warden. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie. How's your birthday week been?
Oh, it's been pretty good. I had whatever day it was off, Monday. So it's been a short week for me. And we've also got the opposition leader, Leah Finocchiaro. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie, and good morning, everyone. Happy Friday.
And it's been a busy week. I tell you what, it always is, I guess, especially when you've got those shorter weeks. But there's a lot to cover off on this morning. I'm not too sure where to start, but we might go with the fact that this morning we have now seen the updated version, the March quarter. Now, I'm not sure whether you three have seen this yet, of the plan to fix the budget implementation status. Now, this is obviously following on from, I guess, a bit over a year ago when we got the Langlands report came out and obviously gave a number of recommendations into the way in which the budget repair measures would take place. Now, the budget has really been, I guess, a point of discussion for us over the last few weeks, given the fact that we know a budget isn't going to be handed down before the August 22 election, but we are heading, of course, to the election on August 22. Now, the Chief Minister has said the reasoning behind that is because we don't know where we're at entirely with the federal government, and what we will or won't be looking at budget-wise from the feds. But going through the March quarter of the status update of the plan to fix the budget implementation status, one-third of those recommendations have been met following the Langlands report. Now, that's a bit concerning for a number of reasons, but it's mostly concerning, I think, at this point in time. We know that we're going to be in a situation where there's quite a substantial amount of money spent to try and keep things moving in light of the coronavirus, and we all understand that. We've already been told how much will be invested in terms of trying to stimulate the economy and stimulate things through the tradies scheme and various other business schemes. But, you know, this discussion about whether we should have a budget or whether we should indeed be able to see further into the finances ahead of the election, it's gaining steam. And I said this last week, I do not see how the Chief Minister thinks that he's going to be able to go to August 22 without handing down something for Territorians to have a good look into how we're looking.
That's right, Katie. It's untenable for the Chief Minister to continue to refuse to provide Treasury details to provide a budget. And what's alarming about the Langlands report that's come out today is that 20 of those recommendations are contingent upon this year's budget. Now, if this government continue to refuse to put down a budget, which they can do, it means 20 of those financial measures in the Langlands report won't be done either. And so it just reinforces, it's just yet another point about why it's so important that we have budget transparency. The government can't continue to hide behind coronavirus. It can't continue to hide behind the federal government. It must have the data. The Treasury officials are working very hard. They've all still been at work. Departments have been asked to find savings. They must be reporting to their ministers. And the federal government are also providing updates on how they're financing the states and territories. So the government needs to adjust its modelling and provide that data. They're simply hiding it, which is not good enough.
Well, it comes out on Friday, you know. What an interesting day to send this out. So saying one-third have been completed, two-thirds haven't, and saying, well, we can't really have the, a budget because of the federal budget. Well, why don't we move the election till October to be fair to Territorians? That's entirely possible.
My thinking is that, you know, Treasury haven't stopped working. I know that obviously there's a lot of differences that have come into play here as a result of the coronavirus, and I totally understand that. But if we don't have an idea of our trajectory of debt at this point in time, then I'm actually seriously concerned. Like, how do we not know how things are looking? And I actually don't think that that's honest, because I firmly believe that Treasury would have a really good understanding of how things are going, and I actually feel as though our Treasurer has a good understanding of how things are going. But for whatever reason, and the Chief Minister's outlined his reasoning behind that, why we're not handing down a budget, I get we may not be able to hand down a full budget, but you've got to give people the opportunity to see how things are going.
You're right, it's not honest. Queensland are going to an election and they are doing a mini budget. Treasury have the data. The government must know. They might not know exactly, but everyone models and does projections. It's absolute garbage to suggest that the government either doesn't understand how much it's spent or doesn't have an idea of what it's looking like going forward. And let's not forget, you know, coming into COVID, we had the worst performing economy in the nation 2 years running. Our finances were blowing out to $6.2 billion debt this year. And pre-COVID, the government hasn't actually explained how it's going to report on its budget spending up until March. So between July last year and March, they haven't said how they're going to do that. And then post-COVID, they haven't said how they're going to be transparent about it.
So if I could just comment there about the Langerland report, Katie. I think the Langerland report needs some qualification today. You're right that they're saying a third has been completed, but there's 74 recommendations. I've sought some advice this morning because I heard the same news as everybody else is listening to. 67 of the 74, which is 90%, have either started or have been complete. So that's 90% of those recommendations. Now, some of that seven that... Is that my good maths?
Yeah.
I thought my good maths this morning.
We'll
it's a bit early
grace.
On a
Just
Friday.
Keep going.
Good maths, give me some grace around that.
Yes, we're happy to.
Those ones that have not yet been started or completed are subject to different timelines. So, in fact, you've got recommendations that are contingent on the completion of previous recommendations that before they start. There's some that have got a longer timeline around 2021, 22 to be finished. So there's a whole range of things there. So to say a third of only could be completed, it doesn't give the right picture around that. We are totally committed to implementing the Langerland report.
Yeah, if people are worried that we're not getting the right picture, well, why not actually open the books and let people see the real picture?
I think that's a really easy highlight to take out of that Langerland report, Katie, and say a third have been completed. That might be correct,
but
it doesn't tell the picture.
What about 20 that are contingent on the budget that's not going to happen?
So, well, the budget actually hasn't happened yet, so when that budget gets delivered, it's unfair to say that. When the budget gets delivered, then those 20
this
will
is an
have
untenable
been attended.
Position. So an untenable position.
I think everybody can have a spin on it, and of course, going into an election, everybody wants to have a spin on it, and that's fair enough. No, that's fair enough, because
I'll
if I was in opposition,
point.
I would do it too.
Katie, it's your show, you make a point.
I'll make a point as a normal territorian. Now, what I'll say is that over the last few months, and over the last few weeks in particular, territorians have shown so much goodwill towards the Northern Territory government. Amazing goodwill and been so accepting of the, of what's been asked of them. They've been so understanding and they've given the Chief Minister goodwill, which I've never seen afforded to a Chief Minister before. I firmly believe that the least the government can do at this point in time is be honest with those people who've shown goodwill towards them.
Exactly. I agree.
It's
and
not
look, we've got
much.
A public accounts committee and today we had this announcement come out. We've had public accounts committee sit during the week and last week, and the brief of the public account committee did not include anything like this. If the Chief Minister was fair dinkum, a matter like this, you know, we've just heard what Kate said. There's an explanation that's an explanation. But why don't we have that subjected to proper scrutiny to the Public Accounts Committee at the very least? And whilst I'm I'll make an observation. The Chief Minister certainly has done a remarkable job. And what's also remarkable is that he's appearing publicly all over the place and he's fronting the media. You didn't see that much for the last couple of years. Is this going to continue or is he wanting to hold on to this little bit of limelight that he has until the tide turns and then he's going to have to make some unpopular decisions and then it'll be Natasha again?
Because we didn't see him for about 2.5 years. The Chief Minister was notably absent.
Yeah, the New Zealand and Langerland report came out.
Yeah.
Well, look,
I think you're being really unfair and playing politics this morning, and that's fair enough.
That's not.
But I do think. No, but I do think. You know, I think, Terry, you just answered your own question.
Oh, yes.
The PAC actually has met the last 2 weeks. You know, that the last meeting we met around fuel prices, we didn't meet around budget. But did, you know, hang on a moment, Terry. You've said that we've already met, and then this report has come out today. This has come out today because this is when it's meant to be reported, because there's some timelines around reporting in that report.
So will the PAC be reviewing this?
Well, actually, I just signed off on a letter just yesterday as the PAC chair, going back to the Chief Minister. We've already had one meeting with him and what they call SEMPSE.
And what was that about?
Hang on a moment, Terry.
How well have we done during the COVID crisis?
So, Terry, we got some figures out of that, but we've written back now. At that meeting, we got some undertakings. We have got some undertakings at the next meeting. We are told that the departments will have done their up till March, they'll have done their budget figures. And at the next meeting, we've asked to have a look at those early so that the committee can meet before then and see what questions we're going to ask around that. Departments report every quarter.
Hold up. Is that information going to be made public so that Territorians can see it in advance of the meeting?
We have asked for it for the PAC, and then we go to a public hearing at the end of the month.
For your committee only.
Well, it's a public hearing. We'll ask questions around those quarterly reports.
But the information publicly.
Well, they're quarterly reports that come from the departments, and we are undertaking. We've been told that we'll get those. We're also told that we'll get early figures in July from that will be done around June. Now, that's extraordinary because usually the end of year figures take a lot longer than that to get together. But the Chief Minister has indicated at the PAC that he's going to try and get that stuff done. He's asked for them to do it by July. That's what we've asked for. The PAC will hold them to account on that. And I literally wrote a letter yesterday confirming that with the Chief Minister, asking to make sure that's available to the PAC, of which you're a member, Terry.
So will the Northern Territory government be handing down a mini budget or some kind of, I don't even know what else could be handed down ahead of August 22? Because, I mean, going through this plan to fix the budget, the implementation status update by the agency for the March quarter 2020, however you want to spin it, but one third of those recommendations have been implemented. Yes, there are a heck of a lot that are underway, but that doesn't really, it doesn't really give us a huge understanding of they may well be underway, but for things like the public service, where are we? For things like looking at a pay freeze, obviously we know that, I'm just trying to find the one, the executive contract officer wage freeze has been implemented. The review of the wages indexation factor as part of the development of a new wages policy, a working group's been established, the implementation plan project's been developed and terms of reference are being finalised. So we don't really know exactly where that is at. I mean, I've put the question to the Chief Minister on a number of occasions. Are we going to see, come August this year, when our public servants are expected to get a pay increase, is there going to be a freeze on that? He'd said it's not even something that they were looking at. So, I mean, you know, some of these different measures that we're meant to be working through, I don't know how far along they are, but equally, we don't really know how big an impact as a result of the coronavirus we're going to have on these being implemented
as well. And the government has shut down opportunities to be able to make these inquiries. I mean, Parliament has sat twice for 2 days in the last couple of months.
Nothing stops you asking for a briefing, Leah.
Nothing stops you asking. Our job is to be there for the Territorians. We have a parliament for a reason. It's for people to participate in democracy, something your government has abandoned and forgotten all about. Okay?
Well,
it's outrageous. Have no clear vision if there's any more parliament. We had parliament a couple of weeks ago and you ran a school hour day. You had no question time, no petitions. You shut down any opportunity for alternative views. I mean, this is crazy. What is going on with your government and not wanting to be open with people and allow people to ask very simple questions?
To me, I think there's just a really clear thing that can happen here. Now, we had the former treasurer, Dave Tollner, on the show earlier in the week for the big issues. He said, Katie, there has been times before where we've had the federal budget handed down the week before, the week of, a day before,
exactly.
And we've still been able to have a situation where you can project what's going to happen. Obviously, there's some movement there, and I think that's the case with every budget that gets handed down. Now, I feel that I, along with many other Territorians, are prepared to accept that we may not be able to have a full budget at this point in time due to this coronavirus crisis. But I think, like I said earlier, that really the government owes it to Territorians to give us a fair look into the way in which the budget is looking at this point in time, warts and all, you know, whether it's good, bad or ugly, because that is the only way that you're then going to be able to have the goodwill of Territorians in terms of mapping a path forward. If you're not clear and honest with them, how can you expect them to support you?
To be fair, I've just been advised, because I just asked the question, somebody's obviously listening in today, Katie, and been told that the quarterly report...
Someone.
Well, you guys have got your phone, so don't...
No, who's got a phone? Only you, Katie. The quarterly report is due out next week, actually, Katie, as normal.
And that's public. That's public. The quarterly reports from the departments, they'll come out next week.
So that'll be the quarterly report.
As normal. And anybody, so Leah and Terry can both go and seek a briefing on that. And they can take that from what they might be private briefings, but you can then talk about it publicly about what you hear.
Yeah. Why
the really important thing here is
publicly.
The other thing is that our budget, as we know, we've got our revenue has been smashed.
Yep.
We don't know what the quantity of that is yet, because that takes a while to flow through. We also, because that's what's coming into government, we also have an unknown about how much we'll get from the feds this year in the budget from them, because 70%. I think if you've got those two figures, to be able to put them together and just guess, we'd be absolutely kicked left, right and centre for having guesswork.
I don't accept that.
Yeah, of course you don't accept it, Leah, because you're on the opposite side of politics.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're going into an election and it's really, really good for you.
You talk about we don't know what we're going into and we've got to be able to provide reasonable information. In the paper today, we see Manoli's closing down. That's the tip of the iceberg. When we see you track what's going to happen with tourism and all the consequential effects of closing the borders and our international access, what impact is that going to have on the budget? Now, there is data that should be available, and it may be terrifying, but we need to know the truth in order for us to be able to respond. And I think this is heading in the direction that it is actually a real crisis, and it's going to require, unless we don't have the courage of the Chief Minister to lead us at a time like this and show us how challenging this is going to be as an entire community, we're going to have an external independent assessment of the Territory's economy, to be fair, Dinkum, because we've got a real challenge on our hands, and it's not time to muck around with dates and trying to sort of preserve a little bit of popularity so you're going to maintain perhaps some hand on the lever of power. There's much more at stake here, Kate, and I think we're going to have to take this far more seriously.
Can I just say, there are good people out there who love our Commonwealth and love our country. Kate made a comment that we can't possibly understand what our foregone revenues are. Now, in that brief opportunity in Parliament a couple of weeks ago, where I had the opportunity, I'm just got Hansard rather than someone telling me what to say.
No,
the Hansard,
Am I able to get this point out, Kate? Yes, please, thank you, Katie.
So I asked the Treasurer about the $180 million announcement the Chief Minister made during COVID around payroll tax and power and water relief. Now, payroll tax relief and power and water relief was something we strongly called for and welcomed, but that was dressed up as a $180 million announcement. Now, when I said to the Treasurer, words to the effect of how much of the 180 has been spent, how much is for payroll tax relief and how much is for power and water, she said, and this is from the Daily Hansard, so it's not edited yet, but words to the effect of that 180 represents a raft of different foregone revenues that we think could be impacted, and some of that includes payroll tax. So clearly modelling has been done about what the impacted revenue is going to be. It's an absolute farce to believe that the government is flying blind, what the government are expecting us to believe is that no one has a budget, no one knows what they're spending, no one knows what they think they're going to spend, and no one knows what this is going to wash up and look like. It's just not possible.
All right. It is the week that was, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. I've got Terry Mills, Kate Warden and Leah Finocchiaro in the studio with me. Now, the week kicked off with the Public Accounts Committee meeting and discussing petrol prices. Now, we know that the Chief Minister talked a big game, saying drop the petrol prices or we'll drop stop them for you, really putting those fuel stations and the petrol companies on notice to bring those prices down. Kate, you and I spoke about this earlier in the week. It's one of those topics that sort of bubbles along all the time, and then it really blows up. And I guess that over the last few weeks, it's blown up due to the fact that we've had record low oil prices, but that really hasn't been passed on at the Bowser.
I think that's a correct analysis, and that's what we were trying to get down to. I'm really interested to hear what Terry's take was, because we haven't reconvened, to be fair. The PAC will have a deliberative meeting and discuss the outcomes and where we go from there. I think we've all formed our own opinions since the meeting. I've spoken to a couple of my own colleagues about it, and we've discussed it. The Chief Minister has called me, and we've had a chat about what my own personal thoughts were on it. But I think, Katie, you're right in the assessment that we've seen a massive drop in that what they call the terminal gate price. But I think that, or I think it's often referred to also as the wholesale price. There's lots of tricky terminology around this industry that I certainly struggled to get my head around over the last couple of, well, probably month or so that we've been doing this. But I feel confident now in the information we've got, but we are still waiting for Vopak, who are the suppliers, if you like, the storage units here in Darwin for fuel coming in off our port. We're just waiting to see what they indicate has been the drop in sales. So nationally, petrol or fuel consumption has gone down, I think, between 40 and 50%. What we're hearing, it's probably at only around 30 here in the Northern Territory, which is a bit of a more of a compelling reason. We discussed extensively the lag. And I think that lag has gone on way too much.
And
public sentiment has moved that way as well.
Yeah, well, and even this week, we haven't seen, since the Chief Minister sort of made that, said those words earlier in the week, we haven't seen a huge drop in those prices at the Bowser. There's been a little bit of movement, but really not what you'd expect. I mean, even at the terminal gate today in Darwin, it's sitting at 91.8 cents for your unleaded. Across at the Bowser, the fairest that you're going to find your unleaded, well, but pretty much half of our servos are sitting at $1.13.9, the other half are at $1.14.9, and I guess therein lies one of the other issues, that a lot of the time what we see is that everybody's at pretty much exactly the same price.
And you won't see those prices changing because the Chief Minister has been all talk, no action. I mean, it's lovely now 3 months out from an election that the PAC are looking at fuel, but ultimately we've been talking about this issue the entire term, Katie, and my message is, if the Chief Minister's going, talking a big game, just go and do it. Just please do something. Because all you've done for 3.5 years is spend hundreds of thousands, if not over $1 million, on the MyFuel website, which right from the start, everyone said would be a flop and would not drive down the price of fuel. The ACCC's report is very clear on how you can help to increase that competition and drive down prices. The Chief Minister's come out talking a big game, so instead of talking about it, just go and do
it. In reality, when we talk about, when we talk about going to the polls, obviously, on August 22, and we talk about how many times Parliament's going to sit now before then, really, there wouldn't be an opportunity to introduce legislation on these petrol prices, would there, Kate?
Well, I think that I'm not quite sure about the Parliament going forward, because Madam Speaker will set those dates.
Okay.
I think that we're really keen.
Off her own bat. No advice from anyone else.
Consult with everybody, Terry.
Everyone?
Maybe you should have a word to her about what dates you'd like to sit. But I do know, I'm pretty sure that we might go back in June. But you've seen we called an extraordinary day of Parliament in order to pass some legislation around COVID-19 so that these things are possible. But I think what's really important around fuel prices, Katie, is that I think they've been put on notice. We've seen in ACT where they were put on notice there, they were able to drop their prices. But I think if I could just point to the go back to a point that Leah just made about MyFuel NT, it's we had evidence that the industry actually thinks it is working, and we've also heard evidence that the Northern Territory, particularly since January, the prices have been slowly coming down. But the trend over the last 4 years is for fuel prices in the Northern Territory to come down, and the you know, those that are watching have said that MyFuel NT has had that impact. We heard that at the PAC, that question was asked directly. So to say it's not had any impact is not wrong. I see you referring it to there onto
well,
it too,
yeah,
Katie, to keep an eye on things.
Well, what it shows as well is embarrassingly that everyone's at the same bloody price. Like, and it's right there in
absolutely.
Front of your eyes.
So we have
and
looked at
it
that.
It makes it so obvious then that, you know, that no one's sort of budging or that there's not real movement.
Yep.
I think the other interesting point about this, though, and Kate, you raised this throughout the week, earlier in the week, when you said that those fuel companies said that their turnover's obviously gone down as a result of the COVID crisis.
Correct.
And I understand that, but I've been told off the record that, well, on the record, I should say, but not on air, that there's a number of servos as well that are refusing to pay their rent at the moment. You'd said as well, Kate, that some of them are accepting, obviously, they've had a downturn, so they're accepting the
JobKeeper payments. Yeah.
So, you know, they're obviously modifying the way that they're doing business so that they're continuing to make money. And I get that they're businesses, but they've been making money off Territorians for quite some time. Those petrol prices haven't come down for quite some time. And there's that lag.
And the industry will tell you that there's all these layers and there's all these different setups for different for service stations. But some of the people that I'm speaking to are telling me we've actually got too many service stations. So their volumes are of sale are too low, are low across the board anyway. So what the industry is now describing as volume collapse, and I think that's a term that we would heard at the PAC hearing, you know, of that 30% is hitting them harder. And so they're actually keeping them, and I think they're on the record as saying they're actually keeping a bigger proportion of that, what they call the retail margin. That's, well, that's unacceptable. If everybody else is doing it tough, then I think this industry needs to do it tough too, along with everybody else. If that's, you know, that you can't just keep people paying that bigger extraordinary amount and then accept that we'll just all accept that so that they can all keep going.
I was also at the PAC and it was very interesting to get a story from all of the different players. And when I'm reasonably convinced that the margins are quite tight. And an understanding of the dynamics of this market are really, I'd think it's, you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And you know, I'm waiting for us to reconvene to form a view. But I'm quite astonished the Chief Minister would come straight out and say that he's going to interfere in the market and control those prices. That's a pretty bold act. And
well, I guess that's why I was making the point that are we actually going to see Parliament sit before the August 22 election? Because the point that I'm sort of getting at, I guess, in a roundabout way is that, you know, we can say, like, you can talk it up and say, you know, drop your prices or we'll drop them for you. But is there actually going to be an ability for legislation to be introduced in Parliament before an election? Because otherwise it is just that. It's talking a big game.
Well, I think they're looking at it already is what I'm hearing, and they're just looking at all the options and what is available. Of course, we're the Territory. We're not a state. We don't have that independent capacity to do it all over, you know,
yeah, so
across
that,
every legislation.
So,
that's being looked at the moment.
Yeah,
and
but
I
this,
think
this points to game playing again. To make a bold statement like that may be electorally appealing, but it's in fact dishonest and irresponsible. And I think Territorians can see through that kind of stuff. It's just making a big sound to sort of everyone give them a round of applause, but can you actually follow through on it? If the Chief Minister was very serious, why doesn't he not intervene immediately and call in the ACCC and have it properly investigated? Why does he have to have a committee to have all of these hearings, create the impression that he's doing something, when he, in fact, has the executive authority to actually do something meaningful? So I think Territorians can start to see through this, and there's actually a game being played. And what I learnt from this is the biggest challenge for all of us. The Territory economy is in a poor state. Our population is declining. So that's feeding directly into issues of supply and demand. That's what we learnt from this. And so the real issue is, how do we strengthen the Territory economy? How do we increase the population? How do we increase competition? They're the sort of factors that really will make the difference.
There's no question that the Chief Minister has many levers he can pull. He's come out talking big on the biggest possible one. But, you know, to follow through, if he really wants to be talking the big game, he's got to recall Parliament, get in there and get it done.
And
that will remain to be seen.
I'm not convinced there's a lot of levers that can be pulled, Katie.
Oh,
We're
well,
looking at that, but the ACCC...
Of course, the AC would have a chat.
But then that's why you sort of go, well, why did he say drop your prices or I'll drop them for you? Like, if there's no big levers to be pulled.
He even said he would sue them.
That's like,
no, I didn't.
That's
he didn't
like
say that. That's wrong. They said if they took him to court, then he would gladly go to court with them. He did not say he would sue them. That's just wrong.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
It is just on 20 minutes away from 10 o'clock. You are listening to The Week That Was. I've got Terry Mills, Kate Warden and Leah Finocchiaro in the studio with me. And like I said, there's plenty to cover off on from this week. I do want to talk about fireworks. Now, Territory Day, as we know, we have had our major events cancelled for Territory Day, which is totally understandable given the fact that we are still in, some fairly strict conditions with COVID-19. I know that plenty of those are being lifted, those restrictions. However, we understand that we're not in a situation where we can have a huge gathering. But we'd had quite a few people get in contact with us saying, well, why can't we still have personal fireworks? So we spoke about this yesterday. We did have at least one supplier get in contact with us and say that they still had enough firecrackers that we would still be able to have some personal fireworks. Now, we had a poll on the Mix 1049 Facebook page. 1,100 votes have come in, and as it currently sits, 46% are saying yes, they would still like personal fireworks for Territory Day. 54% are saying no. I reckon there's a few votes in there for the dogs as well.
No doubt. Every year, it's the same argument. It's every year, Katie.
But it doesn't seem as though the Chief Minister's going to change his mind. He shut those calls down and said he doesn't want to do a half-assed job of celebrations. But we spoke to one of the suppliers yesterday. I note in the NT News today there's a few suppliers that have spoken to the paper and have said that they've got the capacity to still be able to sell those fireworks if there was a change of heart.
So it's not just simply selling those fireworks. So, Katie, I had to read that article twice this morning because those suppliers are actually interstate. If you read it, it sort of reads that they're here.
They're not.
If you read it again, Terry, it actually, those are interstate suppliers who, of course, are keen to ship it all up here to the Northern Territory so that we can sell it. But if you talk to the local retailers, they're the ones that say, nope, this is where we source our fireworks from. We normally get it from China.
Getting those supplies from the interstate suppliers?
No, not necessarily. A lot of our locals, they purchase directly from China. And to do that, they need to go over there and they need to inspect them before they come. And, of course, you're not going to go to China. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, well.
So we're listening to locals. We're not listening to interstate suppliers who are really keen to offload their stock to the Northern Territory.
Well, I know one of the wholesalers has been servicing the needs of the Territory for 20-odd years, and those fireworks are actually at East Arm. They're in the container. Mm. I can't answer for
that's
the others. They're actually there.
One of the ones we spoke to yesterday.
It's not enough so that we could all... do our personal fireworks. There's not enough quantity.
I'll arrange for you to come out and we'll have a look at the fireworks out there. There are more than enough for domestic use under normal circumstances. If the Chief Minister actually wants to ban this, you should come out openly and say it.
That's not what the Chief Minister's saying at all, and I think it's really unfair that we all know that we are trying to get ourselves in a good position if there's a second wave of COVID-19. How about we go out, instead of going out and speaking to somebody like that, Terry, how about we go out to the hospital and we talk to the nurses and doctors who deal with fireworks every year.
So that's what your real agenda is.
There's two parts. There are obviously lots of different...
You just said that there aren't enough here. There are plenty here.
I'm not saying that, Terry. What I'm saying is there's layers to this argument. It's not all about whether there's enough here, although I am sticking to that. This is about interstate suppliers.
I do understand that there's layers to the argument, but I really, at the time when the Chief Minister made the announcement, I thought, oh, he's calling that early. Like, that's an early call.
75 days out.
And then I think that probably, I don't think it would have been much more thought about it, but then due to the fact that we are by June 5 going to our new normal and the majority of those restrictions are being lifted, that was why I think that was what prompted quite a few people to contact us here at the station and say, well, hang on a sec, if we're going to the new normal on June 5, why can't we have just the personal fireworks in our, at our homes if we have a barbecue or whatever?
We're not going back to how it was before. The new normal is still about social distancing.
Yeah.
But we also still need to prepare for any outbreaks of COVID-19 because it has not gone away. So what we're talking, we've actually consulted with local people here in the Northern Territory. That was the advice given with those. Now, if we didn't consult with local industry, these guys would sit here and smash me today about no consultation. You're in a rock and a hard place. That decision had to be made early because they do need to go to China to get those supplies, and that decision was made early for in consultation with those locals. It's also made in anticipation that we cannot afford, if we have an outbreak of COVID-19, that we then have our hospitals stretched with people with firework injuries, and that's just the decision that was made. It's responsible. If Terry wants to make politics out of it, then go for it. 3 months out from election, you accept it.
No,
it's politics.
Hang on. I think you get a little confused here. Well, you can call it that if you wish,
it's
but
exactly
let's be
is,
factual. There are wholesalers that have supply here. Retailers can get from the wholesaler. The fundamental issue is there is plenty of supply here. Wholesalers that have been servicing the territory for years have it here already. So the retailers don't have to go to China. It's already here.
So
that's the issue.
What you're saying to local retailers is, hey,
you don't have to go to buy them from Wuhan.
Let's just peel this back. 75 days out from Territory Day, the Chief Minister made the announcement. Now, there were all sorts of strange justifications for why we couldn't go ahead with Territory Day. It was around supply, then it was on demand on our health services and all sorts of other things. Now we are easing, restrictions are in a phase of easing. People are allowed to gather again as long as they're doing the 1.5 and conducting appropriate hygiene practices, etc., which means there is no reason why people in their own backyard cannot, if they want to, enjoy cracker night. If there is supply, then again, it raises the question. What about the revenue also? And Terry raised a good point. There's wholesalers, but then there's retailers. There are plenty of business people and NGOs and not-for-profits who actually use cracker night as a great way to raise money. And I won't mention, but you know, I've been involved with a long time with a NGO, that's one of their biggest fundraising nights of the year is they purchase from the wholesaler, they then sell them to Territorians and they make a lot of money. And at a time when we need money spinning through our economy and we need a bit of feel good and good news, I just can't understand why the government is digging their heels in on this decision.
All right, let's take a very short break. Still plenty to cover off on this morning. You are listening to Mix 104.9's 360. It is the week that was.
360's the week that was for BTC Constructions.
It is 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock and this morning is flying by. It is Friday morning and we are, of course, doing the week that was in the studio with us this morning. Terry Mills, Kate Warden and Leah Finocchiaro. Now, there has been a lot to cover off and there was some criticism earlier in the week with the tradies scheme that that applications weren't being processed as quickly as they could be. Now, we caught up with the CEO of the Department of Trade, Business and Innovation, Sean Drabs, yesterday, and he said that staff were training more staff, obviously, to get that home improvement scheme voucher approval processes moving forward more quickly. Initially, he'd said that they were hoping to process between 600 and 800 a week, but at the moment, things are not going that quickly. There have been 19,551 applications, as we know. 790 of those have been assessed so far and 617 approved. I think we're all hoping that they do, that they get approved as quickly as possible. We want our tradies obviously being able to get that work undertaken, but we also, as homeowners, if we've applied to have some work done on our home, want to get it done too.
Yeah, look, this scheme, the home improvement scheme is a good scheme.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the government have really botched the implementation of this. Of course, we had the Chief Minister come out and just close it overnight without giving people fair warning of how much had been used so far. Then, of course, they had to extend the amount of the scheme to account for the fact that a lot of people had made submissions. But in doing that, they just unilaterally changed the rules of the game. And that's put an enormous amount of pressure on tradies who are operating under one model and have now had to go to another. Of course, to have 700 odd applications processed and even less approved out of 19,500 is really problematic because tradies who were expecting work with it to do work within 6 months are now looking at being drip fed applications over 12. Now that impacts your workforce capability, how many people you're able to employ, your workforce planning, your jobs. It impacts on your cash flow, on your ability to source materials. All of these types types of things. And then on top of that, what ended up happening for a lot of tradies is people who were going to undertake works to their home and then found out about the scheme, paused that work, obviously, to make it part of the scheme, which, you know...
Which then delayed things a bit.
It's fine, but it took a lot of work out from underneath the tradies.
Yeah.
And because the government has not got a commitment to pump this out quickly, it's causing all manner of problems. Now, stimulus is to stimulate. People need this work now. Let's get that money flowing through our economy.
Now, Sean Drabsch did say to us that they are going to be ramping things up. They've got a team of 70 people that they've combined. So obviously the department's trying the best they can to process it all. But I think it's one of those difficult, like it is so difficult in the sense that, you know, like I would never have thought that almost 20,000 people were actually going to apply for the tradie scheme.
And I think, Katie, in the last minute, you know, I think it's, you know, it's you can easily say it got closed quickly, but in that time frame where it was, we said we were going to close it, a lot of people really, really quickly slammed through their applications. And we had them walking in the electorate door constantly all day that day just to get them in. So I think, you know, if you'd have given people 48 hours to do it, to be fair, we'd have seen even more people do it. So it was really quick. I think that's a really positive thing that so many people are willing to put that little bit of money into getting that renovations done. And I think that money will flow. I think we've put over $4 million already out in vouchers. So that's starting to flow into the economy. But I think the other thing is that some tradies that I've been speaking to, and I speak to them all the time, have said, you know, we put in 40 quotes to people.
Yep.
They knew that if it was constrained to that three-month time period, there's no way they could have done that work.
Hard.
So now they're able to actually get longer work over a longer period. And we're hearing, you know, people saying nationally that perhaps that six-month window isn't going to be enough, and certainly it won't be enough time for our economy to rebound.
I guess the thing is, though, for some, you know, for some Territorians as well, if you have to wait too long, you might not actually get the work done. You might go, well, shit, I can't actually afford it the way that I thought that I could.
And you have no certainty that your application is going to be approved. I mean, that data shows that, what, there's about 100 applications that were knocked back. And tradies and Territorians out there don't know if they're going to be one of those people.
I don't think that's vouchers being knocked back either. I think what that is that's vouchers that haven't yet been approved. So
applications and then approvals.
Correct. So some of those might actually be having some checks and balances. So if we'd have gone out and said, okay, everybody that's put them in, here's your voucher, you guys would have been screaming and saying, well, where's the checks and balances around this? What happens if that's not really a tradie?
You definitely need to have checks and balances
and that's
in
what's
place.
Taking the There's time,
no
Katie.
Doubt about it.
Terry, it's a little bit hard sometimes to get in here. Just a couple of observations. Take Corona to the side. The dramatic response to this, the demand for this, is an indication of how understimulated the economy is and how great the need is within the territory economy. That's why there was such a flood of interest. Bear in mind, too, that Territorians are prepared to put their own money in. So it does stimulate, and I think it helps us to recognise the underlying challenges that we have with economic rebuild. And secondly, for the Chief Minister to make an announcement is an easy thing to do during a coronavirus, easy to make the announcement. The implementation is the challenging part. So the observation there is, this is indicative of the challenges that we face to rebuild and reset the territory economy. This is the real role of government, implementation, not announcement.
All right, we are going to have to wrap up because we've run out of time, unless you want to stay for the rest of the show.
Can I say, Katie, I do know that those public servants that are doing the HIS scheme, they worked all the way through Easter and they are ramping up their numbers and they are training new people really rapidly because we're hearing what people are saying and it's getting done. So stay tuned. Those vouchers are going out the door and we'll do more and more, but we'll do it accountably.
Public servants are working very hard. No one is saying this is the fault of the public service. No one. This leadership comes from the top.
All right, let's wrap up. Terry Mills, the leader of Territory Alliance, good to catch up with you this morning. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, and I'm just off to make an announcement about a boost to the horticultural sector of the Northern Territory with medicinal cannabis.
Oh, there you go. All right, we're waiting here. Kate Warden, the member for Sanderson and Government Whip, thank you for your time this morning.
Always great to be with you, Katie. Thanks for having me.
And Leah Finocchiaro, the opposition leader, thank you so much for your time this morning. And
thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
You are listening to Mix 104.9, and that was The Week That Was, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions.